Yes, hello.
Yes.
Welcome to Debatable, a fake television show sponsored by Corona. Look at those alabaster hands. Applauding.
I feel like,
for
hold on.
Ourselves.
Stop it. In Corona's defense, I feel like today is not the day that it said it's presented by Corona. Like, Corona is not the reason why we are wildly late. That's on us. Sorry.
And to be clear, despite the fact that you may think it's because of me, because you've heard the words late and us, it is not. There are reasons beyond our control. But here we are. I haven't showered since last night. Dominique, I don't know if you have.
Of course I took a shower. Why wouldn't you shower?
All right. I was going to go for a bit of, support there, but nope, you have left me out alone.
Well, there's some things that you can support people on, and then being a good friend.
We
is
just
also
did a live show at
get
midnight.
Get in the shower.
I will eventually.
Your buttocks.
Oh my friend. As the owner of a Japanese toilet, I have the most washed butts.
Celtics
at
Warriors.
ESPN.
Celtics Warriors.
Guys, so we went through a bunch of angles last night. We talked about the Wigasance. We talked about winning without Steph Curry. But I want to focus a little bit on the Celtics for this topic, as we've had a night to digest. And Tatum was all right in Game 5, but he's really struggled this series. And he's someone we wanted to anoint this next star. And my question for you is, does it feel like the Celtics are down 3-2? Because Jason Tatum just hasn't been good in the finals.
I like how the question that we start with, much like my unwashed hair, has sort of like hardened into something gross. Because to say that Jason Tatum is now the reason after having a night of sleep, I mean, he has been absolutely subpar, but he's not the reason. I mean, the reason to me has to do with the Celtics offense broadly being clearly broken. Their defense actually has been pretty good, but the offense that turns over the ball 16 times, and when they do that, they lose all the games they play. That to me is a bigger problem than Jason Tatum.
Well, a couple things. Number one, the turnovers are bad. Those numbers are bad. Jason Tatum has not been good, but we always say like happiness is a function of expectations, right? So you expected more from Jason Tatum. He has fallen short of expectations in game 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 as a whole. So is he the single reason? No, not really. But these are bad numbers. And I watched the game last night after I was done watching you guys in Debatable. I said to myself, sometimes
you can just
break it down into like a very simple question. So about last night, not specifically about Tatum. I'm going to hijack the show for a second. Which of the players in a Celtics uniform had a good game? Who played well? Like, was there a role player? Was there anyone? Like, did anyone exceed your expectations? Celtics player who were like, we wasted a Marcus Smart game? He didn't play great. He had like what? I'm gonna say he had 5 turnovers. 4.
I think he got messy towards the end, but through the course of that game, Marcus Smart was the one who was hitting the shots. He was the one who was making the no-look passes in the paint, posting up Steph Curry. He felt like the guy who was going to like carry them until Tatum and Jaylen Brown woke up, but they still sleep. And so like, you can't expect Marcus Smart to carry you all the way through the finish line. Like, I felt like if you get a game like that from Marcus Smart, which he's been relatively consistent in these playoffs, like, that is the person who I felt like did everything that he could do within his powers. He lifted as much as he was capable of lifting, and then no one else stepped up. And maybe it's because of the Wigasance, which, like, I know, Pablo, you probably speak French quite well, but don't you have to be somewhere? I mean, like, a renaissance suggests that it's like a renewal. This is just a
sauce. Yeah, you need
this
exactly.
Before he was drafted was his first peak. That was the first Wiggins peak. Then he was drafted, played in Minnesota. So this is the Wigasance right now.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Alabaster, do you have a bit of French that you want to interject here?
Well, I think it's
bien sûr.
Worth noting that Marcus Smart unraveled in the fourth quarter. He had the tech and the fouls, and that is the point.
Jordan Poole.
When you need Jason Tatum, the hard shot hitter on that team, to make these shots. And he was, I believe, 0 for 5 in the fourth quarter. 1 for 5 in the fourth quarter, apologies. And that can't happen if you're trying to close out, you know, the Fighting Wardells from San Francisco.
The Fighting Wardells, who, by the way, have a mascot, it turns out, who was not essential to the fight. That's the other part of the story. But Dominique, you're about to say something. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I was about to go on a referee tangent, so I'm glad you saved me from it. But it's just so stressful. I just want to say this. I don't need a response. We don't need to go down the whole referee's path. But it is so stressful. Like, I don't have a dog in this fight. But it's so stressful to feel like the calls are so aggressively subjective. And I come from a sport in football where the calls can be somewhat subjective, but it ain't like this. Like plays where there's a phantom foul here. And like if a guy throws his shoulder into you and you fall back, sometimes that's a charge. Sometimes it's a play on. Sometimes it's a block. To me, it's just like it's frustrating depending on how the ref is feeling, the type of the game, the player who's doing it. Like all that stuff matters and it just – That's
well,
all.
No, but that is, I mean, look, the answer to the question of like, why are the Celtics in such a hole right now? I think Celtics fans would say the refs.
No, I think that's why I didn't want to go down this path because the Celtics don't deserve that. They're in this hole because sometimes you decide to be
throw the ball to the other team.
Sometimes you decide to go back to that team you were at the beginning of the season. It's not the ref's fault. I was just saying from as a fan's perspective, sometimes it's just annoying to me watching this. But no, we are not going to allow the Celtics to scapegoat this on the refs.
So Jason Tatum, Alabaster, is insistently pointing this out, and it's a fair point, right? He is now 5-for-21 in the fourth quarter in this series. That is very bad. And as much as Celtics fans do want to complain about the euphemism that referees use for inconsistency, which is game management, that is the euphemism that allows you to call things differently because, hey, it's the NBA Finals. Hey, it's the last 2 minutes of a game. Hey, this guy has a technical foul already. Hey, this is a guy who plays physical. All of that arbitrary judgment that Dominique is frustrated by and Celtics fans are frustrated by, that is game management. But I will say that the most inconsistent person, Jacoby, I think on the Boston Celtics should be mentioned here. And that is Jaylen Brown. Like, to me, that's the guy who kind of embodies this team at this point. Jaylen Brown, when he is not a negative in terms of plus minus, they win. And he is somebody who I remember talking to somebody in the NBA who said, I don't know how you scout Jaylen Brown. Because every game, that dude does some shit that you have never seen him do before.
He will
and that
catch
seems
ball,
like this team.
He'll catch the ball on the wing, jab step, inside out, cross, get past the first defender, jump into the air, bounce off the second defender, spin around backwards, and spin the ball off the backboard. And I'll be like, this is the greatest basketball player I've ever seen on one possession. And then the next possession, I'll be like, I don't think he can dribble. Like, I don't think he can dribble. It's like, first of all, Derek White's a little upset that you called him the most inconsistent Celtic, but he is the most inconsistent Celtic. And it's just like, I've had this relationship with Jaylen Brown for years now where just like singular flashes of just athletic brilliances and touch and just understanding of the game and reads where I'm like, wow, this is like a next like top 10 superstar. And then there's certain times where I'm just like, oh, we probably shouldn't pass him the ball. You know, handling the ball.
Jaylen Brown and Draymond Green are like mirror images, funhouse mirror images of each other, or the one is the negative to the other's actual photograph, at least because like Draymond Green, when you spend any time talking to him or you understand who he is, you would assume that he'd be the guy on the court that will be making these type of ridiculous plays. Whereas until recently, he's consistently kind of made smart plays. Jaylen Brown, you spend any time talking to him or reading about him, you're like, man, this guy never makes a mental mistake on the floor. But then he goes out there and then just does inexplicable things. It's just a testament to how there are different types of intelligence. And some people have book smarts. And some people have wildly inconsistent basketball smarts, which I think Jaylen Brown has that. And it's frustrating because he'll go and like give you a dissertation about postmodernism art. And then
he'll lecture
and then
he'll, at, yeah, a, and at then Harvard.
He'll, and then he'll dribble the ball off his foot in back-to-back plays in the fourth quarter of a pivotal game five. In the fourth quarter.
Yeah, well, that's one of the funny things about comparing a Jaylen Brown to like a Draymond Green, where Draymond can dribble and pass the ball, but shoots like he's wearing a backpack. And Jaylen Brown can shoot the ball and make contested bombs from deep, but he cannot dribble the basketball or pass the basketball with his tiny hands.
And might actually have a backpack with books in it that he wears because he looks like he reads books and enjoys them. Yes. Yeah.
Draymond Green takes non-consensual field attempts. You know what I mean? Like, they're non-consensual. Like, he does not, I don't mean to make light of that word, obviously,
no,
but
he
does not want to shoot them.
Right.
He is not a willing participant. He is not a willing participant in all of his field goal attempts. Like, that one when he faked the handoff, he's like, oh, what do I do now? I've got a wide open lane to the basket. I forgot how to score. When he's open in the corner, it's a swing kick to Draymond. He gets the ball and he's like, this is my worst nightmare. This is my worst nightmare. I have to shoot this ball and try to make it go in that cylinder. This really stresses me out. It stresses me out just watching it.
I will say, actually, I'll put a wrinkle on that visual. It does feel like the ball and Draymond are talking to each other about giving consent before he shoots. He's sort of holding like, you sure? You sure you want me to do this? You want me to do this? Are you sure? Just for the record? Okay.
He took a baseline in game three. He took a baseline shot where he was just like, ah! He was just go that way. Basketball, bounce off the rim. Maybe something will happen.
Fighting the ball is fun. I do appreciate that. It was something that we used to talk about DBs who couldn't catch. I'm not one of them. But don't fight the ball, Draymond. Don't fight it.
He has an emotional argument with the ball. So you're talking about physically fighting with the ball. Pablo's tapped into what's really happening, whereas him and the ball are just like in a fight right now.
No one wants to back down. The relationship analogy is the perfect one because there was a time when his relationship with the ball was incredible. But I don't know what went wrong. But they are on the rocks right now.
They need to go to therapy. They need to go to Cancun and sit on the beach for a few days and rekindle that affair.
They got to reconnect.
The fact that the Warriors are winning this series and look primed to win in six games, it does feel like the Draymond is going to skate on some level of this. But I agree. There is a deeper psychological story to be told. Alabaster, I can hear your psychological story getting more grim because you're trying to get us to move to the next topic.
I love the next topic, though.
I do want one quick follow-up because you guys got to a really interesting point on Draymond Green. And this is something that Bomani brought up on his podcast. Simmons and Russillo talked about on their podcast. Like, Draymond portrays himself really confidently on a basketball court. And both of those conversations questioned, do you guys actually think he's confident? Because I don't. At this point, I don't think he's confident with the basketball. And I think that's fascinating that there's sort of like a balance between how he wants to portray himself and what he actually wants to do with the ball.
Can I briefly push back on the idea that it's kind of, I mean, to me, Draymond, ultimate shit talker, trying to shit talk his way out of a lack of confidence feels very much of a piece with the person we're describing, right? Like, that to me is not surprising at all.
As a cornerback, I can speak to this. That is all we do is talk our way out of situations where we are confident or not confident. Like, the rules are designed so that you will not succeed. There are world-class athletes across from you running forward. You got to do what they do while moving backwards. It's hard to still maintain some level of confidence, but we do it until things go right, and then you pretend like that's what you expected all the time. I know what Draymond feels like. Draymond is in isolated one-on-one coverage with Randy Moss every time he gets the ball in his hand. It's terrifying.
I'm going to push back on all of this. I'm going to say Draymond is one of the most confident basketball players in the NBA when it comes to every single part of the game except for shooting the basketball. When he's running the floor in transition, he's great. He's a great decision maker with the ball passing, setting picks and handoffs and all the defensive stuff he does. Like, I think that's what gives him all the confidence. Like, he has like a Chuck Knoblock like yips thing going on with trying to put the ball in the basket. That would be my retort.
Baseball got in the show today. Tell all the haters we talk about baseball. Yes. Mark it down, haters.
A 16-year-old reference to someone just like having a mental problem. Great job, Jacoby.
The problem is when the core to the game is putting the ball in the hoop, when you got a problem with that, it's a big problem. But anyway, I'm sorry. Moving on.
All right, let's move on to some what are the chances. And the first one, we are moving on from Chuck Knoblock to kickers.
Oh,
and back to the Super Bowl. This is a juicy morsel that came out about the GOAT, Evan McPherson, who stayed on the sideline and watched the Super Bowl halftime show. Apparently, the Bengals are still salty. And our question to you is, basically, should they be? And what are the chances they should still be upset with Evan McPherson?
So Jacoby has been dying to talk about this. Jacoby, tell America what this story is about, please.
I thought this story was about this hot rookie kicker who's young and not a care in the world, just kicked two game-winning field goals at the Super Bowl, cool as a cucumber, wanted to see some of his favorite hip-hop artists perform. So he did that. And it doesn't matter because he's so cool. He's going to kick it through anyway. It didn't affect the game. Beginning, middle, and end. That is not what this is about. This is about mentorship. This is about leadership. This is about Kendrick Lamar. And this is about Darren Simmons, the special teams coordinator, and Clark Harris, the long snapper. Clark Harris is a long snapper. We're planning this with McPherson. The second that it was be known that this sort of collective was going to be performing at halftime, this was 2 weeks before they even got – 3 weeks before they even got the Super Bowl. They said, if we are there, we're going to watch this. Clark Harris is a 13-year veteran, so he's incepted this young mind with making him feel like this is okay. Not only that, Darren Simmons, because there was some, like, you know, someone got hurt, he's looking for Clark Harris at halftime. He's the special teams coordinator. Mr. Foxworth, yes. I imagine, like, the defensive group, pretty big group. I imagine, you know, you go to your corners in the locker room, the offensive group, pretty big group. If you were to, I don't know, be missing two players from the special teams unit and you're the special teams coordinator, would you notice?
You would probably notice, but most likely you wouldn't notice because there ain't shit to say to them ever. Like, I am 100% on their side because nothing ever changes. Let me tell you a story about my first 3 years in the league when I was in Denver. We had a kicker by the name of Jason Elam. Jason Elam would drive his pickup truck into the parking lot, not for the start of practice, but for the start of the field goal period. So we'd be out there practicing. He would drive in with his gear on, hop out, boot some balls, get back in his pickup truck, and leave. This wasn't every day. It only happened every now and then. But, like, we understood that he was a veteran. He knew what he was doing. I think at the time he held the record for the longest field goal in NFL history. So I played again with Jason in Atlanta when he was down there, and the same sort of thing happened. The only problem with this is that they drew attention to it because they are not football players. They are not on the team. The same is true for a long snapper. That, like, is there a trick play in? If it is, we would have practiced it. You ain't installing a trick play in the middle of halftime of the Super Bowl. All you do is snap the ball. And they made the rules so that no one can hit you. So you're not even incentivized to lift your damn head up. Snap the ball, keep your head down. He's been doing it for 13 years. What the hell does he need to be in the locker room for to talk about? Like, maybe I've been too far away from football, but this over-controlling of the football locker room, or excuse me, of the non-football players who are on the football team, to me, needs to stop.
Wait. So you mentioned the key detail to me, which is what stuck out to me from when I was reading about the story, which is that people noticed it. And there was an amazing quote from Evan McPherson. Evan McPherson, by the way, has been heat checking his whole rookie year, right? So he says, he calls his shot before the AFC title game, game winning kick. He says, looks like we're going to the Super Bowl, right? Like, all that stuff happens. He is tremendous. And so what he and his vet decide to do is do the Ferris Bueller's Day Off thing. Except Evan McPherson has this quote, which I will just recite to you, which is, I didn't realize there would be cameras there. And the problem with that is that where they went was literally the most watched part of the most watched TV show in American life. Like, the halftime of the Super Bowl, of
course,
the idea that he didn't think that he was going to get spotted, where, give me a place where there are fewer cameras than halftime of the Super Bowl.
I mean, you got to go disguise. That's their one mess up is like, you got to take off your helmet and shoulder pads and go jerseys. Overcoat.
And they went through the whole thing. They went through the whole thing. They're like, oh, yeah. We should have, like, shown our face. You know what I mean? We should have, like, checked in. Like, when you, like, go to class and you get, like, and then after five minutes you ask for a hall pass, you never come back. Like, that's what they wanted to do to halftime of the Super Bowl. They had a lot of regrets. But at the end, if you see the ending here, he's like, oh, yeah, it looked pretty bad. I probably wouldn't do it again, but no regrets. Like, well, you probably wouldn't do it. I don't think you understand how regrets work.
I mean, it is just stupid. I think what it came down to is that the Bengals are embarrassed by it. They don't care. They would have been selling t-shirts if Evan McPherson hit the game-winning field goal after this. They would have been selling all these t-shirts about how they didn't show up at halftime. Like, that's That's all that matters is the results of the game. And as far as I'm concerned, I think they said the long snapper in 13 years has never had an unplayable snap. And Evan McPherson is probably the second best kicker in football right now after Justin Tucker. Like, y'all ain't doing nothing.
I'm going
with
90%.
Either of them. Shut up.
90%. They should be upset with them. It's embarrassing. You can't have the players be running out all over the locker room during halftime of the biggest game.
It's only embarrassing if you admit that you had a problem with it. It's Ooh. Only embarrassing. Ooh. Like, if you say, like nah, that's you save face. Walk sure. out there and say, nah, it was cool. What was my adjustment going to be for Evan McPherson? Hey, try not to kick it outside of the yellow thing. Kick it down the middle. Like, to me, it is an outrageous thing for them to be upset and disappointed by. And no one on the team, no team I've ever been on, has had some expectations that the kicker and the long snapper and the punter were treated like us. Like, when we run conditioning at the end of practice and the kickers mosey on into the locker room, we are not up in arms. Like, but what about him? We recognize that he don't have to run. He don't have to be in shape. Like, this to me is just absurd. All you had to do was say, yeah, the man makes his kicks. He keep making his kicks. He can do whatever he wants at halftime.
You know what? Dominique has won me over, Alabaster. Put that down, that card down again. I'm going to go 0% as well.
Oh, wow.
I just want to point this out because – I had never Google imaged Clark Harris before, but keep in mind, the two people who wanted to watch the most historic collection of hip-hop talent in recorded American history, one of them looks like this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're a long snapper, I assume you look like that. Oh, ooh, Elizabeth Doherty just texting you.
That's
Elizabeth Doherty.
Yeah,
this is my wife telling me, our daughter is sleeping, stop yelling about the greatest collection of hip-hop talent in American history.
I think your daughter is upset.
The hottest take is coming right now. Halftime show, probably better on TV than in real life. Probably better on TV than in real life. It is a made-for-TV event, so Evan McPherson would have enjoyed the performance more if he just stayed his butt in the locker room.
Right. Did he even see 50 Cent hang upside down? Probably not, depending on the angle.
Yeah, exactly.
Which sideline were they facing? It's an important question.
Do you expect me to have that kind of research done? I've read the article, which is like way more than I'm expected of me.
This is why they needed to go two kids inside of a trench coat so they could move around the field to get an ideal view.
Get a better look. Yeah.
Yes.
Live music is so wildly overrated.
I think it's worth noting, Evan McPherson, 5'11", 185. He easily could have blended in, to your point, Dominique, if he just had a little disguise. And we took the liberty of making that disguise. Ooh, I think this guy, no one knows.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That would have been a much better move if he put on the glasses, like the fake
Bobby
disguise.
Valentine. Yeah.
The look-at-me disguise.
I think I bought a true crime novel from that guy, Malik Jackson, yesterday.
The Bengals should be ashamed of themselves.
Is there a more suspicious mustache shape, though, than that?
Yeah.
Good point.
Well, actually,
good point.
There is. Yeah.
Oh, the Michael Jordan?
Yeah, the Michael Jordan. Oh, Michael Jordan is the scariest mustache ever.
There's one mustache shape does kind of stand out when you ask that question. Let's move on. Save us, Alabaster.
Somehow we upgraded. We had a hotter take than Jacoby. Yes. Just sneaking in that all live music.
Live music's way overrated. Wait, the live music experience is just way overrated.
That is
overrated.
Not true.
I totally way agree overrated. With that no, take, thank Jacoby.
You.
What?
Totally no, thank agree. You. Talking
miss
about?
Me with all of that. I can't hear anything. It's a worse version of songs I like. I don't know. I can't dance, but I can't not dance. It's going to take me an hour and a half just to get like a beer. I'd rather just be at home on the couch listening to the music than listen to a bad version of it literally on a screen. I'm not even watching the performer. I'm watching that person on a big screen behind them with a bunch of other people that I can't dance. I'm supposed to clap and stand up and sit down. And
so is this just halftime shows? This is halftime shows or this is all concerts?
All live music.
All live music. Wow.
Overrated.
Great take.
I will
great
say,
take.
The one part of me that sympathizes with that is to go to see Kendrick Lamar live at one point, like years and years ago, and because I'm cool, and he did the thing where he had the audience like rap, and I hated it so much. I was like, no, man, don't outsource this, please. Don't outsource this.
Very problematic for me as well.
Did he put a microphone in front of your face? were you asked to finish a very problematic Kendrick Lamar?
Everybody, stand up, sit down, put your hands left and right. Someone, like, I don't want to do this anymore. This is not jazzercise. What are you doing?
As someone who was uncomfortable at the term wigasance, would not fare well in those circumstances.
All right, guys, let's move on to the Lakers and Anthony Davis. Guys, this story's been floating around for a couple days, but I think it's pretty interesting, and we have a soundbite for you to listen to on this
Jack
one.
Jack Harlow, I just got that. The Lakers.
What?
Don't point it out, Pablo.
What are the chances this explains why Anthony Pablo Davis can't shoot anymore? Here. We have a soundbite.
I haven't shot a basketball since April 5th.
Like, where you actually shot a basketball.
This is the most surprising thing I've heard in sports in like a year. It's honestly, I'm shocked. I shot around this weekend.
Well, when's the last time you did a fake TV show when you weren't at work?
Okay, moving on. I'm not going to address that. But I'll say this. Doesn't he have, I assume he lives he doesn't live in like a condo where there's no basketball court. I assume he's got his own home in Los Angeles with a hoop in the driveway or something.
The point I'm making is it's his job. Like, I suspect that mathematicians don't go home and crack open some elaborate equation.
Oh, no.
Like, it's just
Dominique. No, you're defending him.
You did the pro player thing with Evan McPherson, and like that one, you barely got
far.
Over the bar. This one
right
is no.
Because it's doing the thing of starting to make a defense for him that on one level is rational, but is actually providing the ultimate criticism of him, which is that he doesn't love basketball enough. Okay. Which is that's the thing that everybody is secretly, I mean, not so secretly, actually outright accusing him of. Like, you don't love the, if you loved math, you would do it all the time.
That's
if you love basketball,
and
you would
so now you've made the are you I was about to come off of this because I trust you two, and I was like, yeah, they're right, I've gone too far. But then you actually make the argument, it's like, yes, people who say this, like, you're supposed to love basketball, you love it, the more you love it, you love everything that you ever loved in your life, like, it's so stupid. It's like, never do anything but play basketball. Stop.
Pablo, you just ruined that for us, by the way, because we were about to win. You really just ruined that for us. I blame you 100%. But let me just draw it back in for a second.
Because love takes too much.
It's like, first of all, we always celebrate people that add something to their game in the offseason, right? So you should be playing some basketball, at least just like staying in tune with it. I understand work-life balance. Really? I understand the importance of rest. I understand that you've got a huge sweat stain on your t-shirt right now, but I also understand that, like, it's almost impossible not to just like slip into shooting a basketball once in 3 months. If my like 6-year-old daughters have both shot basketballs last week, Anthony Davis could put one shot up. Like, just in what scenario does he not put up one shot in 2 months? Like, we're not asking him to like go to Hakeem camp for 6 months and like, you know, or whatever, or go to Steve Novak's house and come back a 45% three-point shooter, all right? But
Chuck
I just want to
Steve
shoot,
Novak
yes,
the
to shoot the basketball once. Just to shoot the basketball once in 2 months is just it's just a little weird. It's a little
weird.
Well,
you can work on your game in other ways besides shooting. Like, that's not the part of the game that he wants to work on this offseason. That's all.
Even though the three-point shooting numbers that Alabaster's put down here. Russell Westbrook, 30% from three. Jimmy Butler, 23%. Anthony Davis, 19%.
That can't be real. I can't believe that's not real. Is that a real number? Did he really shoot 19% from three?
That is real? That is horrific. I did not realize it was that bad. Alabaster, though, if you want to flip to the other card, I do want to – oh, what do you got?
I was just going to say, he has a $31 million house in Bel Air with an indoor and an outdoor basketball court.
I'm leaving. I mean, Dom.
Come on.
You got an indoor and outdoor court in your home, and you haven't taken a shot?
I got a little half court right outside
that
door.
It's not like the dining room that you don't never use. You know what I mean?
No,
like, oh, yeah, indoor basketball court.
We got
the plastic cover over the hoops just so no one messes it up.
But let's drill down to what we're really saying, though, because what are the chances explains it? I don't think it explains it. What I think is that all of us are demanding that Anthony Davis, like, lie. Or no, not lie.
Ooh,
like shoot one basketball just to say that you did it, just so you can pass the lie detector test that everybody is subjecting him to. That's what we're really talking about, right? It's the fact that it's zero instead of, like, it's the binary one.
It's unusual. I'm surprised by it, but I mean, it should not be an indictment on Anthony Davis's character and love of basketball. And second of all, don't love things that can't love you back. Like, that's a rule you should follow. It'll backfire on you eventually. Do not love children. All children who are right now taking a break from summer camp or whatever you're doing, school, who are watching this, understand. Don't love something that can't love you back and have a well-rounded life like Anthony Davis. First Do not all, spend your entire offseason shooting basketball.
It's what incredible. an amazing like finish that? From Dominique there. He like literally it. Said, do not rim. Love children. He said, do not love children. That. Like, as a life
There's
advice.
A period. Yeah. There's a period in there.
Like, do not love children. I was whoa. I thought I was going to win the hottest take award with the live music is overrated, but you just came way over the top with do not love children. I love that. I'm going to say this, but let me here. Pablo, Dominique, when was the last time you shot a basketball? I'm going
40%. Last night.
Yeah,
I went like, in my living room and I just
you just accidentally count, so. End up doing
that doesn't
this.
That doesn't count.
But like, actual hoop. Basketball, like I was like just messing around with my kids this weekend and I was shooting around like and like he's Anthony Davis.
I haven't shot into basketball since April 5th.
Very specific pull from him too. Like,
but Dominique has been giving fake television takes for 24 hours continuously.
Yes. Do not
sponsored
love
all of
children.
Them.
Remember,
sponsored
if you learned anything today,
by Corona, except for that take. That take was not sponsored by Corona. Not, all the other
everything
ones.
Else. This,
that take has nothing to do with Corona's philosophies or the morals or just like general approach to how they make beer. They love children very much.
But do they love us back?
I love Coronas. They love you guys.